Captain's log.
Captain's log.
Captain's log.
Captain's log.
The Enterprise is on routine control.
The ship into a freighter, suit equipped, activate voice regulator. I've never witnessed anything like this.
Hello, Clixers, and welcome to a special episode of the Brothers Prob Probcast. This is a special episode because it's just me. This is Jeff, and as I'm recording this, it is the 17th of January. Jordan and I recorded an episode on the 8th that didn't work out for technical reasons and health reasons. I've been sick for a week right after recording that. And so we just decided to not release that recording. So, but we don't want to go a whole nother week without anything. So I'm just going to go solo this time and see what we come up with. I'm going to be talking about the sets that are coming up, both announced and stuff that we actually know stuff about. And I'll do my Golden Age spotlight. And yeah, so let's get to it. So coming out really soon now is the new Xavier School set. This is shaping up to be, I think, a nice solid set. I had been hoping and thinking ahead of time that this might replace GSX as the X-Men set everyone talks about. And I don't think it's going to be that way. But I do think it's going to be a nice solid set. And a lot of the dials have been revealed, and so right now I'm looking at the Dial and Evans thread on HC Realms, and I'm just going to go through and I'm going to talk about some stuff that I see here. One thing that you notice when you're looking at the new figures is that traits have kind of replaced team abilities. So one trait that you see on a lot of figures is X-Men First Class. Which says, if this character makes the first attack during a turn and hits, friendly characters with the X-Men keyword modify damage plus one until your next turn. So you'll see that same trait on a whole bunch of figures. So that's one team ability, so to speak. There's an X-Factor trait. When this character hits with an attack, modify damage plus one for each five in the attack roll. Now, the reason it's a five is because if you're using a good old-fashioned die that has dots on it, the five, the dots form an X. And it's thematic. It's kind of neat. I like it. There's the X-Student trait. When this character's or an adjacent friendly character's attack roll includes exactly 1/5, there's that X again, modify one target's defense minus one. That's pretty cool. We have the Headmaster trait that appears in different forms for different characters. A lot of them are Headmaster for X-Men. We've also seen Headmaster for Hellions. But anyway, so all the Headmasters grant leadership and perplex, but only to target another friendly character with the keyword specified. So if it's Headmaster X-Men, it's X-Men keyword. If it's Headmaster Hellions, it's Hellion keyword. During force construction, you include one student ID card on your force without adding its cost. So you get basically a call-in card for free. Now, the thing about student IDs is, as far as we can tell, none of them have inspirations. So yes, you get to call in a character and use it on its top click for one turn, but it's not granting an inspiration to anyone that it calls out. They're also only 3 points instead of 5 points if you're paying the cost. Let's see here. Generation X trait, power action. Move up to 5 squares, then make a close attack. That's a really cool one. It's like an improved version of the old Street Fighter team ability. So that's really neat. Hellions. Speaking of Hellions, when this character's attack roll is 10 or more, damage dealt by that attack is penetrating. Ooh, nasty. Let's see here. X-Student, First Class, X-Factor. Oh, here we go. New Mutants. At the beginning of your turn, if this character is adjacent to a friendly character with the New Mutants keyword, you may heal this character one click. If you do, friendly characters can't make attacks this turn. So that one's going to be really situational. You're going to have to decide, maybe you're tokened out anyway, And it's worth, you know, you wouldn't be making attacks anyway, so it's good to that you can heal someone. Here's a Magneto that has Headmaster for New Mutants. So it's the same Headmaster trait, but he's using Perplex on New Mutants instead of X-Men. So that's pretty neat. Let's see here. Hellions of Kever, Generation X. Again, Generation X. It's not a comic I ever read. I need to get around to that in the Marvel app, but it's pretty cool. Here's Headmaster, all new X-Men specifically, and that one's on a Kitty Pryde figure. So that's pretty cool. We may have hit all those team ability traits until we get down to the Chases, because the Chases all have Survivor of the Age of Apocalypse for now. When this character is damaged by an opposing character, give that character a revenge token. When this character attacks a character with one or more tokens named Revenge, modify attack and damage by +1. When this character is KO'd, you may choose an opposing character with a token named Revenge and remove all those tokens and roll that many d6s. For each roll of 5 or 6, deal that character 1 penetrating damage. I gotta admit, it doesn't thrill me. Most of the Chases that have been revealed so far don't thrill me at all. Cyclops is pretty good. He's got, starts off with 9, 11, 18, 4 on his 100-point dial, or 8, 10, 17, 3 on his 60-point dial. On that 100-point dial, he's got Running Shot, Pensai, Toughness, and a special damage that gives him leadership and enhancement. So those are pretty decent. You know, Toughness isn't great. It's a bit squishy for 100 points. And Toughness is his only damage reducer on this dial. But he does get to make range attacks while adjacent to opposing characters. And he's got Indom. So that's pretty strong. He'd be good to use maybe with the Culling card. The Iceman's pretty interesting. Angel is okay. Dark Beast, I don't care about at all. Mr. Sinister, I don't care about at all. I always think it's really nice when I don't care about the Chases. Looking at the super rares, there's some really neat characters that I'm glad have been clicked. Old Man Logan has got a really strong top dial. Actually, he's got a pretty strong dial, period. He doesn't have any damage reducers on his dial. But he does have a trait, traited regeneration. The downside is he heals one less, so it's possible to roll for regen and not heal any. But he has a printed 3 damage his entire dial, and he's got 3 clicks of 12 attack and 4 clicks of 11 attack. So as long as he's protected by someone, he's going to do pretty good. This may be, you know, where someone with a nice strong 18 defend to pair up with him would be pretty good. The title characters are, we've seen Magneto, we've seen Professor X. A lot of people are hating on Professor X, and I don't love him, but I think he's okay. I do think it's funny that a title character that uses a title ability has to make an attack, and his title ability that increases defense for everyone is called Violence is Not the Answer. So if he activates Violence is Not the Answer, he has to make an attack. That I just think that's pretty funny personally. He's not super strong, but he's also only 50 points. The other title character, Magneto Realist, is twice that. And I do think he's a much stronger character. He's certainly an attacker and not just sitting in the background. Also odd that the Professor X doesn't have leadership. Magneto at least has a couple clicks of that. Love that Brew, that the little mutant Brew that's an X student, gets a figure. There's a lot of characters here that have never been clicks before, which is just so cool. I like that this new Banshee. Banshee has the Headmaster trait, but specifically for Generation X. That's pretty cool. We got a bunch of new mutants, including Magic. That's great. Here's another Professor X, 37A. He's unique. I always think it's funny when a Professor X in a wheelchair has a speed of, you know, 6 or more. He's in a wheelchair. Towards the end of the dial, when he has a 4 speed, that's much more believable. But this Professor X is a pretty strong mind control guy. He's got a 0 damage, so he's never going to be hurting anyone. And he does have that 18 defend that some of the other characters, you know, could really use to support themselves. Where he really shines, though, he's got a 12 attack to go with that 0 damage. But what he's got is he's got mind control. And when Professor X uses it as a range action for his first 3 slots, he targets all opposing characters within range, regardless of line of fire. But this is just to move them. You don't get to make attacks with those characters. But whether you're just moving them away because you don't want them any closer, or you're setting them up for your other characters to attack, that is just incredibly strong. Now, of course, you know, a mind-controlled character, their speed is cut in half. But that's still, you know, generally speaking, you're going to be moving someone at least 3 squares. And, you know, moving them, you know, if your characters don't have a move and attack, you can use Professor X to move those opposing characters up to your character. And, hey, there! Bam! Time to hit him. So, that's pretty neat. Darwin, I think, is going to be seeing a lot of play. He's kind of designed to be your anti-pick-a-power character, basically. So, we'll see how that works out. I'd sure like to have one of him myself. Skin has an ability that's kind of like Lashina from Harley Quinn, or... oh, gosh. Oh, Groot Thrower from Mighty Thor. Basically, he's got plasticity at a distance, so people can't get too close to him without having to stop. And then good luck getting away also. So that's pretty cool. Glad to see a Jubilee. I love that Artie and Leech are in this game. And Leech, again, is kind of designed to be an anti-pick-a-power character. So we'll see how that goes. Jordan and I had speculated, because it hadn't been revealed yet, what the prime version of Moira Packard would be. And I had guessed it would be when she was under the influence of Mr. Sinister, and now that we see it, that's exactly what it is. She has a trait called Pawn of the Shadow King. I don't even know why I said Mr. Sinister, I meant Shadow King. Anyway, when an adjacent character uses mind control, they can use it with 3 targets. So, say, put her with Artie from Leech's best friend. Because Artie has traded mind control with 1 target. Well, put him next to Moira, and now he has 3 targets. And then she has another trait called Aria of Death and Science, which is a free action. And she gets to choose a character in a KO area, so a character that's already been knocked out of the game, turn it to its starting click, or at least the click it started at for this game. And then she gets to choose a standard power that that character could use, and use that power until your next turn. So, she's like, instead of bringing characters on a sideline, once a character has been knocked out, then she gets to pick a power from them. That's kind of neat. So, and she's the common green ring, so we'll see how that goes. You know, those green rings are hard to get anyway. I think the ex-trainee and the ex-student are both pretty neat, how they each have basically 4 two-click dials, and if you pay 25 points, you get to pick which dial they're working on. If you pay 15 points, your opponent gets to pick. but they're really good for adding to your theme team, because they both have the X-Men keyword. So they are cheap ways to add to your theme team, and you can just use them to assign them theme team probs if you don't like what powers they have. They'd also be good mastermind fodder for such cheap. So that's pretty cool. And that's just some initial thoughts on the X-Men set. I'm still looking forward to it. I'm not looking forward to it like I was, unfortunately, but I still think this is going to be a really good set. The next set after this, we've only really seen some box art, and it's Avengers Infinity War. I'm just so not excited about this so far. The box art shows Thor. We've got a ton of Thors lately. Has Quasar. I like Quasar. It's got Moondragon. Got the Monica version of Captain Marvel. There's a Cap on the box. I think the most amazing things on the box art are Devil Dinosaur and the Spider-Mobile. In case you haven't heard, each booster is going to have 4 standard size characters and 1 character that's on a 2 square by 2 square base. It'll either be a vehicle or a colossal. And these boosters are going to be more expensive. We don't know for sure yet. I've heard rumors up to $25. Gosh, I hope not. But even the low end of a $16 price point is just so expensive. That's $160 for a brick. As a judge, I have a hard time seeing using these for prize support. And yeah, I'm not excited about this. I'm seeing a lot of negativity online. Now, granted, there's almost always negativity. The Dyson token pack is Warlock and the Infinity Watch. Not a personal favorite of mine, but I'm sure there are people that will really dig that. I'm sure someone wants a Pip the Troll token. It's not me. And another reason a lot of people are kind of mad about this is that the next full set after that is going to be, or at least that's been announced, will be in August, and that's Batman the Animated Series. And I don't think I've seen a single negative post about Batman the Animated Series as a set. Everyone is thrilled about that. Myself included. There's going to be figures from Batman the Animated Series, from Justice League, from Batman Beyond, and even going back to the 70s, we're going to get some Super Friends. Everyone's going to love this set. This one you're definitely going to have to pre-order because stores are going to sell out. Somewhere in there, we're getting the new Turtles Gravity Feed, which looks really weird because it's video game based and it's 3D renderings of 8-bit graphics for the figures we've seen so far. No idea what the dials are like yet, but we'll find out eventually. And I'm hoping that sometime we're going to see another Star Trek set. I really believe that there's enough left from the original series, especially based on what isn't in the first set, that I'm sure they're planning another set of Star Trek, the original series. So we'll see how that goes. I do want to take a moment and talk about the Brothers Prob. We have a trial coming up, an ROC trial, and this is going to be in February, and it's a special event in that you're going to be playing a 300-point team, but we're supplying the figures. And basically, we've made what's called a cube. It's this thing that Magic players do, this format. So basically, you're going to show up, and you're going to get a booster, 2 commons, 2 uncommons, and a rare. And we'll do a draft. And basically, you get 2 boosters worth. The first draft, you'll take a figure from yours, pass the other 4 on, you receive 4 from the other side, and you just keep passing around until you have 5 figures. Then you're going to get another booster and do the same thing except pass the other direction. And then the 10 figures you have, you'll make your team from. It's a 300-point team. There is a 16-player limit on this. We already have 7 people signed up, pre-registered. If you want to pre-register, contact the Brothers Prob on our Facebook page. You can send us a private message if you like. Pre-register price is $5. If you show up at the door and there's still spaces available, it's going to be a $10 entry fee. So it pays you to sign up ahead of time. And this is going to be at a Roundtable Pizza in Beaverton, Oregon. It's 10150 Southwest Beaverton Hillsdale Highway. It is Saturday, February the 3rd. The restaurant opens at 11. We want to start... we're going to, you know, start registration right away. We want to start team building at 11:30, and we're going to be dropping dice at noon. This is a really nice round table. They'll have a buffet going when we get there. There's a salad bar. You can order wings or burgers. As far as prizing goes, this is an ROC trial. So first place gets an ROC map, one of those nice, roll-up maps, 5 ROC points, a set of dice, 2 tokens, and a voucher to participate in a super qualifier later this year. Second place gets 3 points, a set of dice, and 2 tokens. And then third and fourth places get 2 ROC points, a set of dice, and 2 tokens. There will be some other prizing going on at the judge's whim. I happen to be the judge for this one. Two of the other brothers will be participating, and unfortunately the fourth one isn't going to be able to make it. So that's coming up. Looking forward to that. So the last thing I'm going to cover this time is my Golden Age Spotlight. And this time I'm talking about the set Explosion. Explosion was the first HeroClix set of the year 2013. It was the third Marvel set and the fourth set overall. It wasn't great. The best thing that could be said about it was that it introduced more characters that hadn't been clicked yet, perhaps most notably Iron Man. Overall, it was a very lackluster set, with dials that weren't even very good by the standards of the time. Since I mentioned him already, I feel like I should discuss Iron Man. There were 3 versions of him, Rookie, Experienced, and Veteran, with no Unique or LE. The Rookie and Experienced versions would have been found in the uncommon slots of a booster, while the Veteran would be a rare. They all had the Avengers team ability and flight. The Rookie had an 8 range with 1 target, while the other 2 had a 10 range with 2 targets. That's pretty decent. They all had a variety of powers and abilities that one would expect from Iron Man and Tony Stark, but lack the combat values to match. I mean, the combat values stink. While the veteran at least started with a 12-10-17-3, those numbers dropped quickly and dropped hard, not something you'd want to pay 189 points for. Like most uncarded figures, these were retroactively given keywords, but even some of those are useless. The veteran has armor, force works, scientists, and West Coast Avengers. The experienced is better with armor, shield, and scientist, and the rookie is okay too with armor, Avengers, celebrity, and scientist. The rookie may actually have the best keywords out of all 3 of them. Perhaps the most useful figure from Explosion is the dirt-cheap Destiny. There were 4 versions of Destiny, including the LE of Irene Adler. All except the LE had the Brotherhood of Mutants team ability. Every version of Destiny was playable for one purpose. Prob. As a rookie, she's 4 clicks long, with the first 2 clicks having super senses, which is the only way she'd stay alive, and probability control. As you pay more points, up to a whopping 29 points for the veteran, she gained more clicks of both powers. She's purely a support piece, with zeros for attack and damage. I suppose at her low cost, she could also be used as mastermind fodder, too. Overall, it was a very uninteresting set. So, that's Explosion. Next time I do one of these, it'll be another DC set, Cosmic Justice. And hopefully there will be more Brothers Prob recording with me. So, until then, have fun, be good, play clicks.